Ezra this morning. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you'll reach Ezra chapter 3. And I'll read both verses this morning, but if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Ezra chapter 3, and I'll read both verses, verses 1 and 2, if you'll follow along with me, there in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We thank you for what, again, we've heard. I pray that, Lord, you'd bless the special as we prepare our hearts for the message. Be with the preacher again. Thank you so much for the good message we heard last week just about getting our Bible and praying and just, Lord, having a good time as far as with you and the Word of God. Lord, we pray bless this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blind to prove that he was Lord.
Do they still doubt him if he fed 5,000 with the lunch of one little boy?
To cleanse every leper wouldn't settle forever the fact that God had come down.
There'd be only one proof that he was telling the truth when his body was laid in the ground.
He had to rise.
He had to rise
to show he was holy.
To show the sunlight broke through when my Savior
came walking out. He had to rise.
He had to rise
to show he was holy.
To show he was God.
He had to rise.
He had to rise
to finish the story, to pardon iniquity.
He had to die,
but to bring
Bible says by many infallible proofs, can't be denied. He came out of that grave, amen, and is alive this morning. That's why we have such a good time serving a risen Savior, amen. I want to continue the message we began last Sunday, Keys to Building a Christian Life. Yes, we're in the same text. We read the same verses this morning that we read last Sunday morning. I will touch on the theme of last Sunday morning's message, which was supposed to be a four-point message, but only became a one-point message because God came in and said, stop. Now, don't hold your breath for that again this morning, all right? But we'll see what happens this morning. I do believe we'll get to point two, and then we'll see what about three and four maybe next Sunday. But keys to building a Christian life, and let's pray. Father, thank you for the reality, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which separates faith in Him from all other faiths in this world. And Lord, it's not because of us, it's in spite of us. We're thankful for the power of God that brought Jesus from the dead. And how we need that power this morning, and you said that you would empower us with the same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life, and so I depend on that, I need that, I trust in that, God, not some knowledge or scholarship or education or verbal advantage or oratorical ability, because without you, we are nothing. And so I need you today. Help us, I pray. May the message be received and help folks along the way. I pray it in Christ's name. And amen. Let me give you the setting for the book of Ezra. The children of Israel had been in captivity in the land of Babylon for 70 years. The Lord stirred up the spirit, the Bible says, of the king of Persia, Cyrus. The Medo-Persian Empire followed the Babylonian Empire. And when the Babylonian Empire was overthrown, Cyrus was the king, one of the kings. And his spirit was stirred up by God, and he issued a decree that as many Jews as wanted to should return to Jerusalem and rebuild their homeland. I understand that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed their homeland horribly. They'd torn down the temple. They'd broken down the homes, the places of business. They had torn down the walls that protected the city from enemies, and it was in rubble. In fact, the word rubbish is used in the book of Nehemiah as they began to rebuild the walls. And so several thousand Jews under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And we said last week that there's some lessons we can learn here from these Jews when they went back to build their city. There's some lessons that we can learn about building a Christian life. And the first thing we found out last week that's a key to building the Christian life is the altar. The altar. And in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, we find out that the first thing they did when they arrived in Jerusalem was that they built an altar. And they began to offer sacrifices on that altar. And they did so on a daily basis. And friend, one of the keys to establishing or building a Christian life for you and me is altar time. That time that we spend with God on a daily basis, it doesn't have to be long. Some people have in their minds that they have to have an altar time that is equivalent to a church service. Church service lasts an hour, hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. That's not what you need to have. You need to have a segment of time. It may be 10 minutes at the beginning. It may develop into a half an hour. It may be an hour, but it's a time set aside where you and I have what I would want to call this morning altar time. It's a time for us to tell the Lord how thankful we are for His blessings. A time for us to confess our sins, to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our sins and have them washed away. A time that keeps us in good fellowship with the Lord Jesus. A time where we read His Word and He speaks to our heart. It's a time like a husband and wife would spend together developing their love relationship. And altar time is vitally necessary. I hope many hands went up last week. The altar was full of folks who came forward saying, the Lord spoke to my heart in the morning service. And I hope that the past 7 days you found some time in your schedule for your altar. For your altar. Now, if you left with good intentions last week and it didn't happen, don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. Just decide again this morning by the help of God that this week you're going to establish Him. Remember what I said last week? What's key about altar time is not just some a generic thought like, yeah, I need to have that time. It is deciding on a time and a place where you're going to build your altar. A time and a place. I've got a time and I've got a place where I build my altar every morning. I use the word every in a relative sense. Like I said last week, if you were to ask me, Brother Angel, in 2011, did you have your altar time all 365 days of the year 2011? To be honest with you, I'd have to say no. There are times like you when my schedule gets interrupted. Maybe something happens to interrupt the morning and I'm always going to get round to it. But brother, I found out that if you don't get to it at the scheduled time, it's pretty difficult to have it. Okay? Altar time. The first thing they did was they built an altar. And if you're going to build a Christian life, I promise you, friend, you must start with the altar. Altar time. Altar time. Altar time. Number two, let's find out the second key to building a Christian life according to what these folks did in the book of Ezra. Look down in the same chapter, chapter 3. Look down at verse number 10. Notice here what the Bible says. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. The foundation. Notice that when the builders laid the foundation, after the altar was completed and in full use, these people, rebuilding their city, laid the foundation for the structure of the temple. And that's my second point this morning. The second key to building a Christian life. First key is the altar. Second key is the foundation. The foundation. Anybody who has ever built knows how vital the foundation is. The whole structure is going to rest on the foundation. If the foundation is wrong, if the foundation is not square, it will lead to problems in the future. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say and don't misunderstand me. You get saved by hearing and believing and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is His death, His burial, and as the men just sang about, His resurrection. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and was buried, and the third day rose from the dead, according to the Word of God. That is the gospel, friend. The death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now listen to me. The gospel is a part of the Bible. It is a portion of the Bible. You hear, you believe, and then you receive the gospel, and the Bible says you're saved. By the way, did you see it has nothing to do with ordinances like baptism and communion? Did you see it has nothing to do with church membership? Has nothing to do with American citizenship? Has nothing to do with your pedigree? It has to do with your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Understanding that we're born into this world with a sin nature. And the wages of sin, the Bible tells us, condemns us to be eternally separated from God forever in the place called hell. But Jesus came and died, was buried, rose again to pay the sin debt in full for us. And now it is done. I need to hear that message. I need to believe that message. And I need to receive that message. And I mean receive it. You receive the message by receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is a part of the Bible. But hear me this morning. You can be saved by hearing, believing, and receiving the gospel. And by the way, if you're not saved, that's how you get saved. Okay? Now, but in order to build, you need the whole book. Okay? In order to grow, in order to build a Christian life, we need more than just Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We need the whole counsel of God. I like what A.W. Tozer said, a great Christian and preacher and writer from years gone by. He said, nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. So my point is this morning that this book must become the foundation of our Christian life. If I want to build a Christian life, my life must be built on the foundation of God's book, the Word of God, the Bible. That's where it must be built. It must be built on this book. Now listen, do not think of your life as a pie. I think some people think of their life as a pie. And my life is a pie, and there's lots of slices that make up the pie of my life. You know, it's sliced into many different pieces. There's my marriage, there's my family, there's my church, there's my work, there's my hobbies, there's my social activity, there's my recreation. And, you know, the Bible is just a slice of my life, like everything else. You know what? Don't think of your life as a pie. Think of your life as a building. Eat the pie. All right? Eat the pie. Okay. But think of your life as a building, and that building, now watch this, rests on a foundation. The whole structure rests on the foundation. And the foundation is God's Word, the Bible, and the building of my life. I'm talking about my marriage, my family, my church, my employment, my education, my recreation, my hobbies, my social activities. The whole structure of my life rests on the foundation of God's Word. It's not a portion of my life. My life rests on this. Y'all got me this morning? That's the foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. So don't think of your life as a pie. Think of your life as a building. And you're building a life. And everything that goes into your life needs to rest on the security and the stability of God's book. There's a reason for that, friend. Because this is the only thing the Bible tells us is going to last forever. And don't doubt that. Kingdoms have come and kingdoms have gone. But God's Word stands. And it will abide forever. There are many verses in this book that tell us the Word of God will abide forever. And I don't know about you, but when I get ready to put a building up, we're going to put a building up, I want a foundation that's going to have some stability. I want a foundation that's going to have some security. Some longevity. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. If you and I are going to build a Christian life, we begin with the altar. That's the time where we spend that time with God to have our hearts prepared to just live for the Lord and love the Lord. And then I want to start building my Christian life by making sure that I am building on the right foundation. Now, you say, Pastor, how do you build your life on the foundation of God's Word? Yeah, I hear you say that, but how do I do that? You know, it's one thing to say, hey man, build your life on the foundation of God's Word. There's another thing to know how to do it. There are two basic important elements when I talk about building your life on the Word of God, on this strong foundation. And it's summed up in the two words, belief and practice. Belief and practice. Let's start with the word belief. What I believe ought to be based on the Bible. They say, well, I think everybody does that. No, that everybody doesn't do that. A lot of times people base their beliefs on their experiences. There's a real danger in that. Because Satan can give you experiences. He's got enough power to do that. I have visited with people. I've visited with folks in their home who basically have told me, I know what the Bible says, and I know what my experience was. And my experience was different from what the Bible says. And I know that I experienced what I experienced, and I'm going to take my experience over the Bible. That is a dangerous thing. Some people's belief system is based on counsels of men. You understand that there are religions out there, and the practice of their faith, their religion is built on counsels. Where men got together and established religious tradition. Now, yeah, that's true. And I'm telling you, friend, you've got to make sure that your belief system is founded on God's Word. Let me give you a few examples this morning. I don't have time to cover all that. How are you going to cover all this in a 35-minute message? But I believe in God. I know He's real because the Bible makes mention of Him. The Bible talks about Him. I believe that God had a Son named Jesus Christ. I do not believe that Allah is God. I will never believe that. I believe what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible is in existence long before the Quran. And it's not near, the Quran is not near as accurate and credible as the Word of God is. I believe in God. I believe that He had a Son named Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, that He went to an old rugged cross where He laid down His life, where He shed His blood and died. I believe that He was buried 3 days and three nights, and I believe that on that third morning He got up and rose from the dead. I believe that because our Bible teaches it. I believe in God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I don't just believe in God's Spirit because I've experienced His ministry. And I have experienced His ministry, and so have you. But that's my experience. I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit because of what the Bible teaches. My belief system must be on the right foundation. All right? I believe in creation. I don't believe in evolution for 1/1,000,000th of a second. Not 1/1,000,000th of a second. I get so amused at these places where you go to visit museums millions and billions and billions of years ago. Hogwash, baloney. That's all based on speculation and supposition. The earth is dated. It's about 6,000 years of age, just like the Bible says it is. I believe in creation. I believe God spoke the heavens and earth into existence. I believe He said that there be light, and there was light. I believe the Bible account of a six-day creation. I believe that man was created in the image of God, different and apart from all animals. Animals are great. They're wonderful for eating purposes and some form of companionship, I suppose. If a dog is a man's best friend, if your dog is your best friend, sir, I feel sorry for you. Get you a good wife, amen? A lot better than a dog. Mercy days. And cats, if there's any credibility to evolution, it's probably a cat. I'm just horsing with you. But I believe that man is different from all created animal beings because God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but you ain't taking Fido to heaven. And that's not happening. I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because I just think it sounds good. I believe that because that's what my book teaches. I believe that woman was created to be man's helpmeet. I believe that man sinned in the Garden of Eden when God gave man a choice to obey Him because He loved him. And Adam chose to disobey God and do wrong. And that sin nature is now passed down to all of us because Adam sinned. I believe that life is sacred to God. I don't believe that life is sacred to God because it makes for some good political conservative cause. I believe that life is sacred to God because the Bible teaches that life is sacred to God. Sure. Somebody was telling me this week about somebody who's been in the news trying to receive judicial permission to put their relative who's in a home to death. Because they're just, you know, there's no use in their life. Well, tell you something, friend. God gives life and God takes life. Life is sacred to God. I believe in marriage. I believe that marriage is between one woman and one man. Not two men. Not two women. Brother, if you're not geared in for a cultural war on this issue, you need to get your harnesses on, friend. I'm dead serious. And by the way, I'm weary of preachers who won't be dogmatic about this thing. Dogmatic about it. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't believe that because I like it. I believe that because of what the Bible teaches. I believe in judgment. I believe there's a judgment seat of Christ for all saved people. I believe there's a great white throne judgment for all lost people. Why do I believe that? Because it's what the Bible teaches. This is my foundation for my system of belief. I believe in an eternal heaven. Glory to God. Amen. I also believe in an eternal hell. And oh my, and God help us. And I believe in these things. My belief system. system. It stands on the foundation of God's Word. It's not on church tradition. It's not from religious councils. It is on, stands on the written Word of God. I make that your foundation. Many of you in this room, you know, been saved for a number of years. That's a wonderful thing. But don't start to leave your foundation. All right? You know what I've seen in Christianity? I've seen trends. All kinds of trendiness in Christianity. You know what? Make sure that your belief system is founded on this book right here. That's some trend. If you're new to the Bible, and get to know it. You say, Pastor, sometimes when I read the Bible, it's like, man, it's so amazing that I almost find myself crying out, this is very difficult to believe. No, wait a minute. It may be difficult to understand, but it's not difficult to believe. There's a big difference in that. I can't stand here this morning and explain to you how electricity works. There are some men in this room who can. But I believe that if I flip that light back there, if it's dark in here, I come in the room and I flip that light back there, I believe there's going to be light. Now, I may not understand it fully, but I believe it and I use it. And you want to be like that man in the New Testament who had that sick boy, and he came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Lord, if you can, make my son whole. And Jesus said, not a matter of my being able to. It's a matter of if you can believe. And the man cried out, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help thou mine unbelief. And that's a good picture of you and me. We read things in the Word of God that sometimes take us a little bit by whoa. And you know, we're tempted to say, that can't be true. But friend, you decide right now that the Bible is the foundation of your belief system. You believe it. You may not understand it. You understand it all. Been saved 37 years this October. Understand us completely. I believe it's God's Word. I believe it's true. And I believe there's not a contradiction in it, friend. I believe I can prove that. Believe, dear belief, our belief system needs to be founded on the Word of God. But now, wait a minute. It's one thing to believe that the Bible is God's Word and that my belief system is founded on this book. Then you've got to get with the matter of practicing. Practicing. This is where I believe the difference is found. In James 1:22, don't turn there. James said this. Watch what he said. This is so good. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And you know what I believe? I believe God gave that to James to write, but I believe that James heard Jesus say the same thing. Because when Jesus was on the earth in Matthew chapter 7 and in Luke chapter 6, Jesus told the story of two men who builded. And the Bible says that both of them heard the sayings of Jesus Christ, and one man built his life on a rock. That's a sure foundation. And the other man built his house on the sand. Now watch it. Jesus said, after the building was up, the storm came. And the rains descended. And the floods came against it. And the winds blew. Two results. The man whose house was built on the rock, his house remained. But the man who built his house on the sand, the Bible says it fell, now watch it, and great was the fall of it. Same storm, same rains, same wind, same floods. One man's house stands, the other man's house is washed away. What's the difference? The foundation. You say, well, I don't understand, because they both heard the words of Jesus. That's the difference. Jesus said, the guy who put his house on the rock heard my words and did them. The guy whose house was built on the sand heard my words and did them not. I want to tell you something, friend. Coming and sitting in the pews of Faith Baptist Church or any other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church is not the end all when it comes to building your Christian life. You and I have to not only believe the foundation, but practice what it teaches. That's the difference. And this is kind of a recurring theme over the last several weeks. And I should just preach from the passage. This is what Jeremiah's lamentation was back in his book. He said the people are going down to the synagogue and they're hearing, and it's like going to a concert. They sit, they listen, they hear the music, and they enjoy it. And when they leave, they're unchanged. Church can't be that way. I need to hear the Word of God, the principles that are being taught, and then go home and practice them. You know, think of it this way. If you're building a house and the foundation is all laid, okay, if you're not putting a basement in, maybe there's a slab. If you're putting a basement in, the walls are poured, the foundation is all finished. What are you going to do next? You're going to go to the lumber yard. Or you're going to go to a place with like Menards or Lowe's or someplace, not Home Depot. Because they actively promote the homosexual agenda. And you pick up, what do you do there? You get materials, right? You get this many 2x4s and this many 2x6s and get this many 2x8s and this many 2x10s and this many 2x12s and this much plywood and this much drywall and let's get some screws and let's get some nails and let's get some conduit and let's get some wire and let's get some PVC pipe and let's get some glue and let's get some hangers and let's get all the windows and the doors and the trim, and you gather all the material for the building. Load it all up on a flatbed trailer or have them bring it over to your building site and drop it off. And, you know, you got your tools, you got your saws and your hammers and your drills and your screw guns and your nail guns. You got your tape measure. It's all there. Because it's all there. Right? No. Friend, you could stand there for days. You could stand there for weeks. You could stand there for a year and look at that material and rejoice in that beautiful material. But if you don't pick up a tool and a 2x4 and a piece of plywood and a screw gun and whatever else and get busy, you're going to be sleeping in the rain. Right? You got to build. You got to go to work. You got to pick up the materials and start building. And that's my point this morning. Yes, my belief system has to be founded on the proper foundation, the Word of God. But if all it does is stay right here, I'm not going to build the Christian life. I've got to practice. You see, the Bible is the foundation. Now watch me. You get principles and you get truths and you get values and you get morals and you get statutes. Those are our materials. Those are our tools. You know what we do with those? We use them. I've said before, the Bible has to find its way into more than just our minds. The Bible has to find its way into our hands. The Bible has to find its way into our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our feet. It has to find its way into our motives. It has to find its way into our desires and our intentions. The Word of God must find its way to be lived out in my life on a daily basis. And look, people have been sitting in church for years and still have no Christian life built. You don't get it. You know, people say, well, I don't get it. Man, I go to church. Maybe I've started going or I've been going for years and it just seemed like I like what I hear. It all makes sense. Yeah, but that's great inside the four walls of this building. But tomorrow morning, Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday, I got to use. I got to pick up the 2x8. I got to pick up the piece of plywood. I got to get the saw or the can. I got to put it to work. And people who have put their belief system on the Word of God and then taken the materials and the tools that the Bible gives you and put it to work, hey, you know what? They built a Christian life. But it will never happen just because you sit around wishing it to happen. It happens because you go to work. No more than just, you know, wishing a house would pop up is going to put you a house up. That's not going to happen. Building a Christian life. You know, I ran across a quote this week. Oh, man. You think preachers today are tough? Listen to what Martin Luther said. Listen, this is years ago. What did Martin Luther, 1400s, 1500s? Listen to what he said. He said, you may as well quit reading and hearing the Word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it. He wasn't even a Baptist. Whoa. Let me read it again. You may as well quit reading and hearing the Word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it. Now, let me encourage you to do something this week. Last week was altar time, okay? Get a time and a place and have altar time. Here's a challenge for today. Throughout the next 7 to 14 days, 21 days, take a little time. Take all the aspects of your life. Take your marriage. If you're married, is your marriage built on the foundation of God's Word? Okay? Is what you believe about marriage built on that foundation? More so, is what you practice on that book. Take your family. Look at your family unit. Where you are in your family unit. Look at it. Is my belief system about my family built on the foundation of God's Word? And beyond that, am I practicing what it says? Take your education. Take your recreation. Take your employment. You say, good night, Pastor. It's kind of like my whole life. You got it. The light bulb came on. Amen. You got it. That's what you said. I can't do that. You can't afford not to. You know why? Because the storms are coming. Yeah, Jesus said they would. Jesus said the storms are coming. And you know what? What I said before from this pulpit, I say again this morning. I don't think anybody's at a disadvantage or an advantage. I think basically the same storms come in everybody's life. Those whose life stands is because they're built on the foundation of God's Word. Those whose life falls apart is because they were built on the sand. Listen to me. Let me be real blunt with you. You know why marriages fail? Marriages don't fail because the institution is flawed. Marriage works. Marriage works. You know why marriages fail? Because we don't take the material and work it. That's why. Well, I'm just going to hope that my marriage doesn't have any storms. Are you a man? Is she a woman? That's the perfect storm right there. You don't look at me like I'm nuts. I'm being real. No man has ever fully understood a woman and vice versa. What makes it work? If the woman gets over here and understands me and does everything I say, good luck. If the man is warm and fuzzy and understands all my emotions, good luck. No, it works when the man finds his role based on the principles of God's Word and works them, and the woman finds her role based on the principle of God's Word and works them. Brother, it works. It works. It works. It works. Okay? Brother Caleb told him the family unit this morning in the newcomers class, and I told him at the end, I said, we're about 5 weeks from bow season. Bow season opened up about 5 weeks, so it's time to practice. It's been time to practice. That bow is designed to shoot. It's designed to shoot accurately. The rest, the sight, everything about it, the cams, the cables, the strings, everything's designed to shoot. I go out in the backyard with 5 or 6 arrows, pull that out like 20, 25, 30 yards maybe, and put a group of arrows in a group maybe like this. And the next day go out there and shoot the same arrows with the same bow, and one's over there, and one's over there, and one's in the cornfield. Throw the stupid bow away. No, the bow is the same bow used yesterday. You know who the variable is? Yeah, the variable's me. I didn't anchor properly. I didn't have my arm properly. I dropped my arm too quick. I'm the variable. Let me tell you something, friend. Everything about your marriage, everything about the family, everything about education, everything about employment is designed to work. I'll tell you what will fix our economy in this country. You don't need Obama or Romney. What you need is a preacher with a Bible. Or some businessman with a Bible. Because according to that book, the economy of that book is designed to work. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, that's the honest truth. You say, well, you believe like that book is the answer for everything in life. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you where it's the most critical. It's the most critical when it comes to your eternal destiny. And you better make sure that your eternal destiny is founded on what this book teaches. Because nothing else will stand. Tim Donahoe stood a few weeks ago on a Sunday night and gave a testimony about when he got saved. And in 3 or 4 times of visiting with Tim before he was saved, he told me, I'm going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. And when I had the opportunity, September the 11th, that year, 2001, to sit down with him and show him from the Scriptures how to be saved, and I asked him, I said, Tim, do you have what the Bible takes, what the Bible says you need to have to go to heaven? He said, Pastor, he said, I think maybe I do, but it's obvious you don't. I said, Brother Tim, doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what this book says. Do you have what this Bible says you're supposed to have, you need to have, in order to go to heaven? No, sir, I don't. Would you like it? Yes, sir, I would. They trusted Christ as a Savior by faith in a crucified, risen Lord. If that's not what your salvation testimony is built upon, that's critical. Okay? That's the most important thing, that your salvation testimony, your eternal destiny, is founded on what this book teaches. I'm talking about the altar. They establish the altar, and then they establish the foundation. If you got altar time going in your life, that's great. Now, the next thing to do to build a Christian life is to make sure you have the right foundation. Believe it and practice it. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening.